This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Life is indeed a precious gift. There are so many blessings that can come one's way. Throughout the course of our lives, there are many opportunities to improve oneself or perhaps serve the needs of others. Because after all, life isn't always the most pleasant of circumstances for everyone. But uniquely enough, there is a commonality among us that oftentimes is overlooked due to what we occupy our lives with. Yes, we can become so busy about our tasks, our families, or pursuing our dreams and goals that we forget the real reasons of why we were born. Clearly, God wants us to recognize the ultimate value of our lives because He created us in His own image. Yes, there is a great and overriding God-given purpose for why we draw breath, and He wants us to embrace this purpose for our lives. So stay with us as we explore the gift of life and why we should try to enjoy it while we're here.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Tony Bukert.
Well, hello there once again, friends, and welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. Now, I've already got my scriptures turned to what I want to bring to your attention today, and it has to do with the topic of the meaning of life. What is this life all about? Because as we go through our lives daily, we come up with different trials and tribulations that can vex us sometimes, or perhaps even the mundane routine of life can get us off focus of what the big picture is and what God has in store for each and every one of us. Believe it or not, this life does have meaning to it, but sometimes it can be blurred through all the details and all the events that we're going through. And it's hard sometimes to find, well, as the Apostle Paul would put it in the Scriptures, contentment with life. And a lot of it has to do with being thankful for the things that God has given to us. I'm going to break right into the context of Philippians chapter 4 and verses 11 through verse 14, and just hear the words what the Apostle Paul wants to resonate within our minds today, something that he gave us, a perspective about life, if you will. In verse 11 of the book of Philippians in chapter 4, we read this: "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress." Now, I don't have a lot of time to get into the context of what the Apostle Paul is really getting at in the context of the Scriptures. There's a lot to understand about what he's talking about. But do you find yourselves at times, I think we all do, it's a part of our human nature, it's a part of our frailty in this existence, in this flesh and blood, that when we come upon some trials in our lives, that we can forget to enjoy life? You know, God created life, you know, not just for the specific purpose of bringing us to a point of fruition of being spirit beings in God's kingdom, which is the ultimate plan that God has for us, but are we able to enjoy the time that we have in this life? Well, certainly this life is meant to be enjoyed, but sometimes when we get into situations, we get into trials, we put ourselves in predicaments, or maybe it's just going through the mundane routines of life. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Groundhog's Day with Bill Murray. He gets up every morning, he hits his alarm clock, he starts his day, and then that day never ends. He gets to repeat it every day. and he never gets to really enjoy it. It's just about repeating different things. But are we okay? Does God want us to enjoy life? And if he does, what's the big picture that we have to view life from? What is it that we have to get back to actually enjoy what God has given us to enjoy? Because we do forget these things. Now, before I get into the next verse of scriptures, I do want to go ahead and interrupt myself just a little bit, because you know, here on the Armor of God, we do make available to you some offerings that we'd like to send to you completely free of charge. And today we have two items that we'd like to bring your attention to. The first item that I'd like to bring your attention to is, in fact, a CD, completely free of charge, of course. It's called Life's a Gift, Enjoy Life, and it's going to go into more detail than what I can today, but it's going to really teach us a lot about enjoying life and how we get back to enjoying life if we're not. And then there's also a booklet that speaks about a great potential that God has created within us that we have to grasp and understand, that we can actually enjoy our lives from this big schematic view that God wants us to view our predicaments and our situations from, because everything's not going to last forever. It's going to come to an end, and God has something that is purposeful for us when all this is said and done. In other words, what is the meaning of this life? If we're just going through mundane activities, if we're just going through life, and we're just looking at life through the lenses of sometimes cynicism and things like that, we can forget that there's a bigger picture that God wants us to have. So reach out to us, if you would please, and get the booklet, Man's Awesome Destiny, and the CD, Life is a Gift, Enjoy Life. And you can do that simply by dialing on your phone, 888-578-8791. Again, that's 888-578-8791. You can hit us up on the web at cgi.org, and be aware that we also have a webcast that is available every Saturday that you can view right from your computer if you want to, or even from your phone nowadays, since technology is really expanding. But you want to make sure that you check the web for the webcast times, because they may vary. Okay? Now, getting back to what I was talking about just a little bit before, you know, sometimes we forget, because the hectic nature of our life, and because we just get busy or we're going through something, that we can forget to enjoy the simple things in life that God has given us to enjoy. I had this reminder presented to me, ironically, a few months ago. My son and I were heading out to go hunting. He wanted to take up hunting. I'm not a hunter. I'm not against hunting, but I just don't have it in me to take an animal's life when I can go to the grocery store and I can buy my food from there. But he wanted to learn hunting, so I wanted to get up with him early in the morning to make sure that he was safe and he understood gun safety and everything, so he wouldn't injure himself and those kind of things. But he woke me up early in the morning, and I find myself, you know, being a little bit grumpy that I was awake on a Sunday morning before the sun was coming up, and I just really wanted to sleep in. And I find myself a little melancholy about it. You know, I didn't have a good attitude about it, if you will. But, you know, something happened when I walked outside. I had forgotten of the beautiful nature of God's creation and how sometimes we forget what God has given us to view and to contemplate, and what creation teaches us about our Creator and about life itself. Because there's something better than what we're experiencing now that God has in store for us. But as I walked out the back door, it was one of those winter mornings. Those of you who experience the winter months, especially those in the Midwest. But as I went out through my back door, I looked out at the grass, and the grass was coated in this beautiful crystalline-like ice. It was all frosty, and it just looked beautiful. You could see your breath. You could look up. It was one of those mornings, and I really can't remember a time in my life when I can look up at the sky and see it with such clarity. And you begin naturally to self-actualize about what your place is in this world. Why are we here? What is this life about? You know, God has put this creation around us, this androcentric sphere of this world that God has given us, to promote life, to promote his plan of salvation. But, you know, creation itself teaches us a lot about God when we can view it the best we can from the biblical perspective. There's a lot of wonderful things that we can pick up from God's creation. I want to go to another scripture. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. The Bible does reveal that God's creation does in fact teach us a lot about His nature and what His plan is for salvation. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. And I'm going to go ahead and start in verse 18. We do have several verses to go through, but it's going to go ahead and serve a point because sometimes we forget. We forget that the greatness of God can be viewed through His creation. And it tells us not only about Him, but when you get down to it, it tells us what we and who we are in relationship to all that we see around us. Why are we here? In other words, let's put it this way. All the greatest philosophers, all the greatest so-called religious leaders in the world have sought to answer one question. And that question is, what is the meaning of life? You know, the Bible has the answers to the meaning of life and what all this is about. But let's get to Romans chapter 1. Let's learn a little bit something about God from this perspective, from creation. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Rome, says this in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. You know, nowadays we're taught that when you look out there in the atmosphere and you look around at God's creation and all different kinds of animals, we're taught that evolution is king. We're taught that evolution and random and happenstance created all this, and there really is nothing more meaningful in this life than just random happenstances. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became as fools. Do you get that? That a lot of the things that are taught in our universities now are based on theories that are based on no God being present. Do you know that a lot of people out there, especially in the world of the universities and parochial schools, will tell you that Christianity is a faith-based religion? And it is, but we do have evidence to support what we believe. And there's a whole study in theology that teaches us how to use evidence for that. But you know, there is no greater religion as far as faith is concerned than the religion of evolution or the belief of evolution. It takes more faith to believe that something came from nothing than to believe that there was an original causer and a mover behind the things that we see. And the fact is that man is the apex of his creation. And he has, in the process of all this, has designed for himself a family that he ultimately wants to bring to fruition and bring forth as members of the God family. Now, this is something that you're not going to hear in most churches and most universities because they're too busy denying God, but he has, in his wisdom, left us evidence through his creation. Now, why am I saying all this? Because sometimes we take for granted the things that he has left for us to view. And what we can learn about Him through this viewpoint. And sometimes we forget to enjoy these, what we call the smaller things around us. I mean, that beautiful portrait of the universe, the stars in the sky and the moon in all of its glory when I walked out of my back door, has been there for 2 years at my house. And all this time I have not taken the time to look at that and to view it and to contemplate, to self-actualize my place in this world. Like sometimes we all forget to do. And again, we go back to Genesis chapter 1. We talk about God's creation. And God has some things to say about His creation that sometimes we forget. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. And for time's sake, I'm going to go to verse 24. And we're going to just read through verse 31. And it says, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth all living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, the beast of the earth, which according to its kind... And it was so that God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Now we get to the best part when he discusses man. And the important part to understand about this is notice what God says about all of his creation here. Cattle was created to procreate after its kind. Every creature was after its own kind. And then we come to man. Man has a very special place, the apex of God's creation, and your destiny that God has for you, if you choose to embrace it, is something that most religions won't teach you today. Let's continue. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. And I think I'm going to stop for time's sake here in verse 27 of Genesis chapter 1, as we find ourselves now, and just think about this. Now, God has set the context for us in Genesis chapter 1, kind after kind. So man is created in the image and the likeness of God himself. So naturally, what's the conclusion that we can come to here? God is in the process of bringing man to a different place than what he finds himself now in this physical realm. That God is in the process, as the Bible tells us in the New Testament, many sons to glory. That God wants for himself a family after his likeness and after his image. Spirit beings of immortality. But sometimes we can forget these things. We can forget the important things in life. So how do we approach life? How do we see things in this panoramic picture in light of what we just read? Well, there's a couple different things, and I'm going to reference to you a scripture in Psalms 90 and verse 10, and it has to do with recognizing the temporal nature of this physical life. In Psalms 90 and verse 10, now I don't have it memorized, so I'm going to paraphrase it for you, that you know, it says that man's life is numbered 70 years, and if by reason of strength, he might have 80. So this life that we live is in fact a temporal life, but the things that we go through, whether it be trials and tribulations or whether it be some sort of vexation, or maybe it's just those mundane aspects of our schedules in which we forget to enjoy or we forget to remind ourselves what God has in store for us and what's waiting for us on the other side, in a manner of speaking. What is this life about? But this life is not for nothing. The things that we go through, the things that we engage ourselves in, the things that we find ourselves growing through, these situations are all for a purpose. I'm going to turn to Hebrews quickly here. Hebrews chapter 5. That God is in the process. Now, I don't have time to go to all the scriptures today, but by way of just going to kind of give you a brief synopsis of this, of calling kings and priests into his kingdom. In Hebrews chapter 5, we're reminded of some of the things that we go through and the importance thereof. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things, if pertaining to God, that he may offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. We can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for all the people, also for himself to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he was called by God, just as Aaron was. Now, let's back up a little bit and go to Hebrews chapter 4, because there's something I really want to get to, okay? The reasons why we go through some of the things that we do, and what helps us to maintain our perspective is found right here in the book of Hebrews. There's a word here that the Apostle Paul, I believe, who wrote the book of Hebrews, and many other scholars believe that the Apostle Paul, at the very least, contributed to the book of Hebrews. But he uses a word here called sympatheo. And sympatheo has a lot to do with how we apply our situations that we go through to other people, and what we learn from it, and what we take out of this world and into the next. What does it do for us? What's the purpose of it? God is in the process right now, friends, of building godly character within us that will take us to His kingdom and serve and help us to serve other people in their situations. It says in verse 14 of chapter 4 through verse 16, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize, or sympatheo, with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Do you know what makes Jesus the Christ such a wonderful high priest? The fact remains, when you consider the life of Christ, as He resides at the right hand of our Father in heaven, He is a great high priest. You know what makes Him such a great high priest? You know what makes Him such a great intercessor for us when we find ourselves in time of need? Is the fact that Jesus Himself emptied Himself as He sat beside the Father in heaven, took on the form of a bondservant, as Philippians, 2 Philippians would tell us. He came into the flesh. He was tempted at all points like we are. You know, He was just as physical as we are. The fact is that Jesus Christ was flesh and blood. He probably got a cold. He probably smacked his thumb with a hammer as He was working with wood. He came across a lot of people who had sicknesses and were vexed by demons. And He came in the flesh and He went through all this that He might experience it so that He could sympatheo with us when we find ourselves in time of need. And that's exactly what we will carry within us as we find ourselves being resurrected into God's kingdom and taking on and embracing our destiny, if we do so choose to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, that we have a position as a high priest in His kingdom. So don't ever underestimate the challenges that we find ourselves going through, whether it be hard times or not, or whether we find ourselves in a mundane routine that sometimes we can forget the importance of this life. Take some time to go back through the Scriptures. Ask people questions. Study what God has to say about what your great potential is and embrace it. Because this life, friends, has a way of keeping us busy. It keeps us derailed. It keeps us distracted from what God has in store for us at the end of all this. Self-actualize. You know, catch the vision of what God has in store for us. Otherwise, we're just going to go through life waking up, hitting an alarm clock, getting breakfast, going to work, coming home. What's wrong with taking some time? And I would encourage you to take some time every now and then to make some time to get out there, even if it's a cold morning. Put on a sweater. You know, you don't have to stay out there very long. And just take a look around you at the things that God has created and think about your place that God has in store for you. Think about the calling that God has in store for you, the destiny that He has for you to become born again, literal born again members as spirit beings, kings and priests in God's kingdom. What's the meaning of life? What does all this mean? It is one of the fundamental questions that virtually all the world's religions has failed to answer. Yet your Bible directs you to the fact that the meaning of this life is to learn the lessons of this life and to take that with you into the kingdom so that you can be prepared, if God calls you, to help other people in their time of need. There is so much to this topic, friends. There is so much we need to get to, and I don't plan on giving you all the goodies out of the bag today, because we do want to encourage you to reach out in a minute. We'll give you those literature and those booklets offers again, but I want to turn to another scripture here in 1 John chapter 3 that in a way serves as a closing for what we're talking about our destiny. You know, this world is filled with all kinds of disinformation, all kinds of distractions about what this life is about. People want to tell you that you have this immortal soul and that we live this life and that we kind of go through it. And then at the end of it, people were kind of worried about what's going to happen to them. Christianity, by and large, although I'm not picking on any religion, I'm just simply saying that People have valid questions that the Bible answers, and we should supply people with those answers the best that we can. Your destiny is not to go to heaven as an immortal being. It's not, if you've been bad, to burn in an everlasting hellfire in fire and brimstone. God wants you to embrace your calling and what He has in store for you. Now, right here in the book of John, 1 John, that is, 1 John chapter 3, we get a little bit of a glimpse about what that is, and it's going to really bring us back and remind us of what we read in Genesis chapter 1. Here's what it says, and we're just going to read down through verse 3. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." Now, you ever notice that when you read the Scriptures? There is always a reminder for us. When Jesus addressed His Father, He addressed Him as Father. Jesus recognized that He was the Father's Son. He refers to us as God's children. Time after time, inundated throughout all the Scriptures, we are reminded what we read all the way back in Genesis chapter 1 of this familial relationship and this potential that God has given to each and every one of us. And that potential He wants us to embrace through the priesthood, through the sacrifice of His Son, by accepting Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Here is the promise that He gives to us right here in the book of 1 John. "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is impure." Now, friends, I've got to bring this to an end. So let me close today. Let me bring your attention right back to the offerings that we have for you. Again, we have the CD, Life's a Gift, Enjoy Life. The booklet, Man's Awesome Destiny. Won't you call us at 888-578-8791? Reach out to us at cgi.org. Get this free literature offering that we so desperately want you to have and answer some of these questions that naturally we as human beings ask. What is the meaning of life? What is my potential? What is my destiny? What is all this about? Hit us up on the web at cgi.org, and don't forget about that webcast every Saturday morning. The times will be on the web. Until next time, friends, here we are at the armor of God saying, put on that armor of God that you might be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.